Nourishment. And I guess that's a bit related to what I want to talk about this morning. The title is Breakfast with Jesus. This Bible story we are about to read, I don't think I've ever thought about it from this angle before. I don't think I even thought of it before as an actual breakfast. There are multiple times in the Bible where Jesus sat down and ate with the disciples and with others. He fed the 5,000. He had a feast at the wedding, turned water into wine there as well. We remember also the Lord's Supper there before his crucifixion. This breakfast with Jesus happened after the resurrection, 3 weeks after the resurrection to be exact. We observed Good Friday and Easter a month ago, so if we were following the timeline, it would have been last week. This wasn't the only time Jesus appeared to the disciples and his followers after the resurrection. I think there were about 11 other instances that he did this. He appeared to Mary Magdalene there at the sepulcher, and then to the woman who were returning from the sepulcher. He met with Simon Peter alone. We don't have many details about it, and we can't exactly say it was separate from the other appearances necessarily, but two verses say directly that Simon Peter met with Jesus, probably like a restoration time, and it could very well be that he was one of the two walking on the road to Emmaus. Sunday evening, he showed up through closed doors where the disciples were gathered. Thomas wasn't there. Remember his doubt. But then 1 week later, he had his chance to believe as well. He saw Jesus and the proof of the nail prints and his wounded side and said, "My Lord and my God." We had the occasion that we are going to talk about today, breakfast with Jesus. After that, it was with the 11 on a mountain in Galilee. He had directed them to meet him there. Here he gave the disciples the charge to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It says also in Acts 15 that he appeared another time to more than 500 brethren at once. And right near the end of the 40 days of his time on earth after the resurrection, just before he ascended, it says that he met with James. There's some debate as to which James. Nevertheless, this was an appearance of Jesus. And then, of course, we have the ascension. Many people saw this as well, another appearance of Jesus. The Apostle Paul also says that he met with Jesus on the road to Damascus. We could say this was different, as Jesus had already ascended. But I'd like to include it as proof again of the resurrection of Jesus, and for us today, to be assured that we too can see Jesus. We can have that connection with Jesus. He is alive. We can have breakfast with Jesus. We really do need to know Jesus personally. Are you well acquainted with him? So does anyone remember where this breakfast with Jesus happened? Do you know like which instance it was in the Bible? It's actually a familiar story. I didn't really think of it as a breakfast before, like I told you. Any ideas when and where it happened?
On the seashore.
Very good. It's a very familiar story. For some reason, I never paid attention to this particular detail that this occurred after the resurrection. I actually assumed it was before, maybe because of focusing mainly on the story rather than the setting. Or maybe we actually get confused with this story and the other fishing story, when Jesus was teaching in the ship, and then when he was done teaching, he told Simon Peter to go out and drop their nets into the sea. Peter was reluctant at first, because they had toiled all night as well, just like this time, and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Christ's bidding, they went out and caught so many fish that the nets broke, and they filled two boats so full of fish that they nearly sank. That was another story. I think all of you children know these stories well, especially this one that we sing about. Fishing all night, catching no fish. Then came Jesus walking on the seashore. Cast your net on the other side. Then the little boat was filled with fishes. I know I've confused these two stories, but they are different instances. And you know, when this story takes place actually has a lot to do with how we would understand or identify with this story. Let me turn to John 21. When we think of the disciples, we tend to think of Peter as the one who failed Jesus. Of course, we have Judas who betrayed Jesus, but he is gone at this point. He couldn't deal with the regret and remorse of his failures and hung himself, like we know. But all the disciples failed Jesus. It wasn't just Peter. They fell asleep there in the garden while Jesus was agonizing and praying. They fled when Jesus was captured and led away. At least Peter, in spite of all his failures and in denying Jesus, he was there. We're going to be talking about Peter a bit more than the rest through this all, but it does apply to the other disciples as well. And I think it is here for us to identify with too. Failure is universal. If we are human, we're going to mess up. And sometimes we mess up big time. Let's read John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, where he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's just think about this setting for a bit and try to place ourselves there. This really was a troubling time for the disciples. Many things they didn't understand. The one instance that Jesus appeared to them, they had locked themselves behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. This really was troubling times for them. Where to go? What to do? You ever have those moments? Pressures of life and so on. You just have that desire to find something peaceful. And Simon Peter here says, Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going fishing. And the others are like, Okay, yeah, good idea. We're going to go with you. So they set out fishing. But they just didn't have much success. They didn't have any success, for that matter, all night long. Maybe they didn't really even care that much that they weren't catching anything. I'm not sure. We don't know what all was going through their minds. Their intention was to catch fish, obviously, but I'm quite sure there was a lot on their minds too, and quite likely they were even talking among themselves about all the things that happened, trying to piece together what all Jesus had said with the things that had transpired. Maybe they talked about how they failed Jesus, the regrets. I had to wonder a bit about this fishing excursion. Remember, Jesus had told Simon Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then he walked on further and invited James and John to follow him as well. It's in Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And I'm wondering if the disciples here in their discouragement were considering going back to fishing. Not that it was wrong to fish, but discouragement does that to us. I can say from experience that when discouraging times come or we fail, we say, "Well, what's the point? I'm going fishing." Is that why they caught nothing? Was Jesus trying to teach him something? Not catching fish all night couldn't have lifted their spirits at all, I don't think. But I'm sure it was peaceful and calm, a beautiful setting, out in the boat, the occasional thump of the oars, or the water sloshing on the side of the boat as they fished along. The sky was beginning to lighten in the east, and morning was coming. What now? A peaceful night, but there was still this, where did we go from here? As the light keeps moving across the sky and they distinctly see the shoreline, they notice a man on the shore. A small fire burns close by. Nice, warm, beckoning appeal. He calls out, "Have you caught anything?" Most or all of these fellows were fishermen and probably knew the ins and the outs of fishing and the secret spots of the lake. They probably tried every single best spot they could think of. Nothing was working. And don't you know, here's a stranger on the shoreline with some strange fishing advice. "Just throw your net on the other side and you'll catch some." I really wonder what they thought when they heard it. Okay, well, nothing else worked so far. Can't hurt anything. They pull the net back in and then with a chuckle, cast it out on the right side. Seems like it must have been almost immediate results. I'm not schooled on the fishing techniques of their time, or even today for that matter. But however they did it, they threw the net on the other side, and when they began to pull it back, there were so many fish they couldn't even pull it up into the boat. They had to drag it back to shore. It says, then they knew it was Jesus. It's like something suddenly dawned on them, and they thought, how does this kind of thing really happen? John says to Peter, "It's him, all right." And typical Peter, as soon as he knew it was Jesus, he was into the water that fast and headed to shore. It says they were about 100 yards out. Doubt and discouragement. Maybe it's from failure in our life. Or maybe it's just the realities of life. Jesus really cares. Takes a special interest in you. He knows when we really need some encouragement. He wants to have breakfast with us. "Come and dine," he told the disciples when they came to shore. It was a moment of forgiveness and love. Jesus himself prepared this meal for them around a campfire and with food that he had prepared. If you want to have a meaningful time with someone, if you're close to someone, that's the place to do it, isn't it? Share a meal with them by a campfire, by a lake perhaps. And the barriers are broken. Common ground, a personal relationship with Jesus. I think we can identify with this. This isn't to lower Jesus in any way. Jesus is God, but this breakfast with Jesus is something we can experience too. We can have that closeness, that acceptance and forgiveness. Through this meal, though, I think there must have been some awkwardness. It says the disciples dare not ask him, "Who art thou?" Why this awkwardness? Well, some of it very likely had to do with their failures. They had failed Jesus in multiple ways, and there were so many things to wonder about. Hence the reason for Jesus spending time with them, to assure them and remind them again of their calling to follow him. Jesus focused on Peter here now. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What did Jesus mean by the word these? What was he pointing to, or what was he gesturing to? Did he mean, do you love me more than the rest of the disciples? Or was it, Peter, do you love me more than these fish, more than this occupation? I think it really meant all of that for Peter. Peter, are you really serious about this? Do you really love me? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And I picture Peter there, maybe his eyes beginning to water a bit as he looks Jesus in the eye and says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Peter, I'm counting on you. Then he asked Peter again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I really mean it this time. I learned some hard lessons. Jesus says, feed my sheep. I'm calling you to a very important work. Then a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter must have broke down. He remembered it all too well, the three times that he failed in denying his Lord. And he says, Lord, you know all things. You really do know that in my heart, I really do mean this. Just as you knew I would deny you three times, you and your foreknowledge know that I really am all in. I really do love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. I really am counting on you. I know I can trust you. I suppose we don't know all the reasons why Jesus asked Peter this three times, maybe because of the three denials, but the most important fact here is that Jesus gave Peter a chance to restore himself, and Jesus himself forgave Peter and showed Peter that failure doesn't need to define a person. It can make a person that much more used by God. Remember, Jesus had told Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This breakfast with Jesus is personal. Have you had a breakfast with Jesus recently? We aren't going to have it in the same way that the disciples did here. Jesus has gone to be with the Father, but he still offers that same closeness, that same relationship. In fact, he sent the Spirit into our life to commune with us, to fellowship with us, to nurture us. How is it in your life? Are you in a fishing boat searching for meaning in life? Catching no fish, discouraged? Let me tell you, Jesus is on the shore waiting for you. He is inviting you. Maybe you can actually see his silhouette by now, if you'd only look. I wonder how long Jesus was on the shore watching the disciples, thinking about each one, thinking about the personalities and gifts and how he's going to use each one of them in a special way. I know it was nighttime and maybe difficult to see the shoreline, but I do wonder how long Jesus was there waiting for them. When they finally noticed him, he had immediate direction for them. Perhaps if they had just come a little closer to shore, they would have seen him sooner. Was there a fire beckoning to them all along? It's easy to get swallowed up in all the darkness and not notice Jesus' silhouette there waiting for us to do our part. We are human, and we will fall short. Too often, we don't see what God has placed right in front of us. However, we can rest assured, too, that God understands us. He knows our weakness and failures, and he understands our true desire to follow him. He will call out to us from the shore when we need it. He will fill that net with fish. He really knows when we need a powerful assurance. But until then, we have to trust. He will not let us down. Cast your net on the other side. Take those little baby steps. They will lead to bigger and greater. Here for the disciples, it was a physical breakfast, but more importantly, it was also a spiritual breakfast, and we touched on that a little bit in Sunday school. Christ was giving them encouragement and strength to face the tasks ahead. He was leaving them shortly, and many responsibilities were going to fall on their shoulders. As was said, Jesus was counting on Peter and also the rest of the disciples. Jesus said specifically to Peter that difficult times would arise for him. There would be sacrifices made and ultimately the giving of his life for the glory of God. How is your daily breakfast with Jesus? Jesus promises us daily sustenance and grace too. Just as we see Jesus' love and compassion for his disciples, we can know also that he cares for each one of us. He wants us to sustain us. Am I doing my part Jesus may be all prepared on the seashore and waiting for us, but are we looking for him? Sometimes it is hard to see through the darkness, but he will be there. Look to him. Also, when he calls out to us, respond in action. Do as he says. And even when our humanity shows through so bad and we are so oblivious to what God is doing and how God is drawing us towards him, when we do know, when we finally understand, let's do like Peter. Let's jump into the water. Waste no time. Connect with Jesus once again. You know, Jesus doesn't need our fish to make a meal for us. He already had some fish on the fire cooking. But he still says, bring some fish. There may be more than one application to this story in regards to the fishing and bringing the fish to Jesus. I think it shows our choice and our responsibility in this relationship with Jesus. Without our participation, there is no relationship. But ironically, he will help us get the fish. Just like all the other things in our life, we are helpless without the love and care of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here at the end of the passage, after their meal was over and Jesus had addressed Peter, he adds one more thing. Follow me. We need these reminders. Close times and communion with Jesus are of utmost importance. We need to keep following and doing what Christ commands, even through our normal day-to-day activities. It's easy to get sidetracked, caught up with life, caught up with what others are doing or what they might or might not do. But Jesus says, what is that to you? Follow me. Have you had breakfast today? Actually, probably a number of you haven't. What I mean by this is some of us find it okay to skip breakfast some of the time, or maybe most of the time. But really, seriously, what about breakfast with Jesus? This we need daily. Daily breakfast with Jesus is essential for the Christian life. Very essential for victory, but also very rewarding to the heart and soul. Have breakfast with Jesus. He's beckoning you. You know, beyond breakfast with Jesus, there's dinner and there's supper. We could look at those different meals throughout the stories of Jesus. And it's important to stay connected with Jesus at all times. Breakfast with Jesus isn't enough on its own. We talked about that. But it does set the course for the day. And it gives us something even greater to look forward to. You know, there's still an invitation of supper to all those who spend breakfast with Jesus. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Have you heard that invitation? Or are you unsure? Well, there's one who can help you understand that and give you peace and hope about it. And he wants to do it over breakfast. Jesus really wants to give each of us courage. Let's press on in our walk. Stay close to God and look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's kneel for prayer.